Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication call-in show on LA Talk Radio. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own world-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. The WAN Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com or call the office 949-723-0338 to sign up. Before we get started, please write down the call-in number to get answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number after calling the station. It may enter the number into your phone. It may go to spam. Tonight, we have Dr. Pat Allen, and we also have an old student of Dr. Pat Allen's. Dr. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We also have Kathy. Kathy Katz, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hi,
do you have
Kathy.
A question?
Hi. How are you, Dr. Pat? Good to hear your voice.
It's good to see and hear your voice and hopefully see your face someday.
Okay.
Do you have a question for Dr. Pat?
Yes,
Kathy.
Yes, Dr.
I want to be a resource person for your questions and answers. You have been doing that wonderfully in the WAN Institute, and I want to back you.
Thank you. Thank you. The one question I have tonight, you taught us that words impact our energy. Your business card had the phrase, don't should on me. How did you come up with that word? And what advice do you have for people that get should on?
Well, that word is a joke because its meaning is usually, and I'll say this carefully, what's the word that's normally fits in? Shit. Okay. And so there are two types of words. There's semantic words and there's systemic words. Semantic words, did you know that my book cannot be called Getting to I Do in Germany?
No.
Because they have no word that means getting. So this is what the book in Germany is called. No Man for One Night. Therefore, when I put the note, don't should on me, I knew that people would not be factual. They would be systemic. They would be like Mary painted the beans black, which is color, which is not factual. Or Mary baked the beans. That's factual. So that particular phrase, don't should on me, is a way to trigger people into realizing that every word has two meanings. One meaning is factual, and one meaning is feelings. It's a joke.
Oh, okay. All those years, I did not know. But what do you recommend to people that do get should on?
Ask that again.
What do you recommend to people who communicate with people that say, you should this, you should marry him, you should have a baby, and they don't want it?
What?
Go ahead.
The first thing you do is to realize you're talking to a hedonistic person that wants power to scare you. If you were with a stoic person, they would want to love you. So what was the question you said? And I'll show you what it is.
Sure. You should marry a Catholic because you're Catholic.
Don't should on me is a statement which means don't power play me. I am a stoic, and my belief is I love people and use things. But you, whoever you are, want to control me and my religious choices, so you tell me I should not marry somebody unless they're the same religion, which is their opinion and not yours. And so my doctoral dissertation is the following: androgynous, semantic, syntactical realignment. That means I want the words to mean what they say and say what they mean. But many people want to intimidate you, seduce you with guilt, shame you, but not love you with negotiation.
That was beautiful.
That's my answer.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do you have another question, or is it done?
I have another question if we have time. Do we have
sure,
time?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, in your 50 years of practice, which you are an amazing woman, and you've helped so many people in their lives, help themselves, myself included, being a transactional analyst, you're very familiar with the games people play.
Oh, very much so.
My first question on games people play, Dr. Pat, why do you believe that people play games? And what's the number one game? Do they play the persecutor more? Do they play the rescuer more? Or do they play the victim?
The biggest game in town is hedonism. It's, I want everything my way. So the point of what we do in transactional analysis, Eric Byrne said, beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. The masculine, powerful, or feminine, and gentle. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. So the way that I studied my PhD was to become a certified transactional analyst to teach people how to love each other with words.
Thank you. That was beautiful again. So well said. Thank you so much.
Do you have time for another one? I can go on forever.
Do you have one more do you have one more question, Kathy? And then we also want to, do you want to tell the people about your book club?
Oh, okay. One more question.
Okay.
I'm so excited. It's so exciting to talk to Dr. Pat. Pat, you've inspired so many people, and anywhere that I've been in the world that I've traveled, I mentioned some of your quotes, and everyone just, they get a piece of paper and a pencil, and everyone is just so touched. And you have so many quotes, and I want to share my favorite, but there's so many. And is there one place where we can find all of your quotes in any of your books?
There's the book, The Answers, has all of her little jewels. It's The Answers.
I want you to
you can order it on Amazon.com. Her book, The Answers, is available on Amazon.com.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
What is your question in one statement?
There's so many. If you could give a woman right now who's looking for love, what is your number one direction for them, advice?
For a woman
looking for love.
Stoic? What?
Yes, she's a Stoic, yes.
If she's a Stoic, she wants to be loved, be empathized. But if she's a hedonist, she wants to control with money and sex. So the first thing, and we'll talk about it next Friday, is the difference between hedonism and stoicism. But for the week, read Marcus Aurelius's book, The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, edited by Mark Forstater. We're going to be talking about what's in that book.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sue.
Do you want to
look forward to working with you.
Do you want to tell the audience how to reach you, Kathy, for your book clubs?
Oh, thank you. My website, talktokathywithac.com. And basically, all the books that Dr. Pat Allen has written and referred, I incorporate in my monthly group. And it's a Zoom group currently. So if you're interested, it's talktokathywithac.com. And I'm happy to invite you to join us. And I'll give you details. Just let me know via an email. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you. Pat. Thank you. Bye, Kathy. We'll see you another time. We'll have you back.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, Dr.
Bye, Kathy.
Pat, thank you for being on. We'll have you back next week. And I think we're going to try and get Andy Shaw on. He's another student that
will call and
take some questions. Kelly, do you have anything you want to ask Dr. Pat?
Nope, I don't. I'm good.
Okay, we'll see you next week, Dr. Pat.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I want to do some advertisement. There's a lot of tools and information on the wantinstitute.org website. And you can also find the books. The one that has all of Dr. Allen's small quotes, it's The Answers. It's available on Amazon. And her other books, Getting to I Do, Staying Married and Loving It, The Truth About Men, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, are all available on Amazon.com as well. You can also look at our website, www.drpatallen.com. There is a link that says free access to a live, it's a streamed video of Dr. Allen teaching chemistry, compatibility, and communication. She goes through all the tools, and she has students and a couple there to demonstrate them with. And that's free access on our website, www.drpatallen.com. Kelly, do you have anything you want to say to the audience?
I want to say I highly recommend that they go and watch that. It's great information. It's currently free. And so what could possibly be better than that? It's a great, and you put it up there for everybody to be able to see.
I did. So if anybody wants to call in for some questions answered, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. I did get a question emailed to me I'd like to share. It's a long question, but it's a good one. It says, let's see, a very nice gentleman is dating me. He is 46 years old. I am a woman, but a 41-year-old recovering man. I very much like him, and I feel like he likes me very much, too. We met June 1st, and he asked me out already 4 times, 2 times to very nice dinners, once to a comedy show, and once dancing. He is generously paying for everything, and it feels good. I am flirtatious, kind to him, and appreciate with words the strokes. However, I feel like it's time for me to reciprocate his generosity with some actions. He asked me out again. That will be 5th date. On a day trip and organized everything, places to eat, a show to see, some sightseeing to do, he will drive and pay for everything. My question is, would it be proper and still feminine of me to offer him that going forward, I would be willing to pay or split the cost for some of our dates or activities? As much as it feels good to me when he is taking such a good care of me, I do not want to be perceived by him or make him feel like he is the giver and I am the taker only. How do I stay in my feminine and still give back at this point in the dating relationship and going forward? Is this a good time to negotiate how we date? Then she wants to use these techniques. I have something sensitive to discuss with you. Would it be okay to do it now? Or if not, when would be a good time? We have been dating for a while, and it has been an amazing experience spending lovely time with you. I so appreciate you organizing all the dates and covering the costs. I'm having a very good time hanging out with you, and if you are comfortable, I would be willing to contribute financially to our dating activities. I am happy to split the bills or take you out every now and then. I would still like you to be the dominant party, as that would help me to stay in my feminine. Feel good. This makes you feel good. What do you think about this arrangement for our dating going on? The only thing I would say is, Dr. Allen, well, when you ask a man that you want to split dates, you're basically showing him you want to be independent. So if you go to him and say, hey, I want to pay for half of the upcoming dates, that signals him that you don't want to receive. You want to go 50-50. And then it turns into a friendship. What Dr. Allen suggests is for every 3 to 4 dates he takes you out on, you reciprocate and give him 1 date back of less value, which means if he takes you out to a nice restaurant 2 or 3 times, you cook him a home meal at your house. If he takes you to a concert, a concert and 2 dinners, you may ask him, hey, let me take you to the movies. I want to share my appreciation for the nice dates you take me. Do not updo his date. Meaning, if he takes you to a nice restaurant, don't try to take him to a better restaurant. That way you would be a better man. So this is the question. I really like it. And I hear a lot of ladies asking that. Kelly, do you have any feedback on this question?
Yeah, I do. It's an excellent question. And in this day and age where people want everything to be equal, I can see why she wants to, but it is quite masculine. And I 100% agree with you. Outshining him or outdoing him with respect to, you know, if he takes you to a nice restaurant and you take him to a nicer restaurant, you know, that's a double-edged sword. It's like, I can take you to a better restaurant, and almost like an underlying thing of, you should have taken me to a better restaurant. So yeah, I totally jive on that, Suze. I'm really going like, yeah, 100%. So I do think that Dr. Pat's right. If you're dating and you're in a relationship, but if you're just at the beginning of dating, then is it really time to be reciprocating?
After 3 or 4 dates, you give back less.
Right. But if you're in a long term or you're starting to be in
Well, then after long term, you negotiate that. See, she's just still starting to date. When you're just starting to date, you don't want to feel like, you know, you don't want the man to think you're a gold digger. You give back less after three or four of his generous dates to show that you're a team player, not just a taker.
Yeah, I totally agree.
This is when you're first dating. When you're in a relationship, then you go to the next level of negotiation.
So I guess my question is she at the point now where they're negotiating long-term?
No, she's just the beginning of dating. The question was, she's just dating this man. They're not exclusive.
Yeah, then definitely. I'm 100% with you on that. Yeah, I think you said she had gone out on like eight dates.
Well, you can go out with a man, doesn't mean you're exclusive yet. She said that they've gone out, but they're not exclusive. They're just having a good time dating. And that's when Dr. Allen says, for every three to four dates, the woman gives back a less date.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So when they do get exclusive, then they can renegotiate. She may, you know, then they start doing, you know, how many times do I stay at your house? How many times do you come to my house? How many times do we go out? That's a whole new thing. Oh, we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Kelly or myself?
Hi, yes. Hi, ladies. I'm calling with an update.
I
called a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I had said that my fiance and I wasn't wanting to have sex with him until marriage, mm-hmm. and he was wanting to postpone the wedding.
Yes.
So I did as you asked, and I approached him and asked him, you know, I made an appointment,
mm-hmm.
and asked him what he thought about seeing a therapist or someone
yes.
to mediate or like a uh-huh. counselor, and he absolutely poo-pooed the idea.
That's fine.
Yeah, so at this point, I suppose I'm in an 8-week period.
Yes.
I haven't seen or heard from him in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Though the last conversation we had, he was asking if I wanted to come over and just talk it out over shots of alcohol, which I don't really drink. So
how did you, so what did you say back when he asked you that? Can I hear what you communicated back?
I said, I'm not comfortable coming over there to drink and potentially be inebriated, but I'd be happy to meet him in a therapist's office if he ever changes his mind.
Okay. The only thing I would say is you didn't appreciate him asking you over. You didn't stroke him. You went right into the, hey, I appreciate you asking me over. However, I'm not comfortable. Then you go into the, I'm not comfortable.
Okay. I did the stroke after. I did say
it really has to be first. It has to be first before you go in to give him your information that you don't want. It has to be what you like, what you don't want, or you want, and then the contract to negotiate.
Okay.
Because you're going in there automatically, no.
Right. Yeah. I said that. I said the no, and then I realized I should have stroked. So
yeah, I know. it flows better when you stroke them first. That's why it's in that sequence. They don't, because once they hear that no, they're already in defense. They've already been shut down.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
But I like you said you're comfortable. The last contract, I'm comfortable talking into a therapist's office. So that was a good final negotiation for the end.
That's right. Yeah. So the ball is in his court.
It is.
What he does with it.
And every time he calls you from now on,
mm-hmm.
when he calls, thank him. Oh, good to hear from you. If he asks you to come over, oh, that sounds wonderful, but I'm not comfortable.
Because
we have to appreciate good behavior. We reward good behavior before we tell them what we don't want or what hurts.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And so, yeah, if he does reach out, I'll be very courteous.
And at the 8 weeks, have you written him a hi-bye letter yet?
No, not yet. It's only been 2 weeks.
Okay, so in 8 weeks, you'll be doing the hi-bye letter.
Not sure I will. If he's gone, I'm fine to let him go.
Well, it's the hi-bye letter is for you, too. They mm-hmm. always come back. They always come back.
Okay.
And I've had ladies that had, they wanted nothing to do with this guy. Just, I have him in my ladies group screaming and yelling. Mm-hmm. I never want to see him. 3 months later, he calls, oh, well, I really miss him. I want to go out. It's, you know, so things change. And you do it so you can learn the lesson, get it all out, send it to him, mm-hmm. and it's up to God in the universe.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't planning on sending one, but all right, yeah, I will. I will write a hi-bye letter for him.
If you want, call us back and I'll help you with the format.
Okay, no, I've written one before.
Okay.
With your help.
Okay.
I still have the format. I have it written down in my journal.
Okay.
But I wanted to say that I've been approached by, I've been flirting as a way to kind of help myself, to entertain myself. We live in a very isolated city, so
wow.
I was looking to make friends, and just, so I was flirting, and so I've gone on a few dates, but now I'm wondering if that was a mistake, because if he were to see me out, then he would think that I'm gone.
You know, when he sees you out with another man, mm-hmm. all men want the competition, the chase. So when he sees you out with another man, he's going to want to compete for you. He'll come around fast. And sometimes they can tell, they sense the energy, you know, the energy, the vibes. He knows, he can sense sometimes when you're out with another man. And that's usually when they come around. It's like Pat says, they have you spinning on a top. And the minute the it starts to wobble, they circle in to get you reared up again.
Okay. Well, wow. That's really good to hear. I'm glad I called. I was getting a little.
Yeah. I mean, we don't call him to tell him you're going out with other men as a threat.
No, never.
But when he calls and he asks you, he goes, hey, were you out with a man the other day? You could say, yes, since I'm not sure where our relationship's going. Just say something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Good to hear. Call us back if there's any updates.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Kelly.
That's a good one. Kelly, do you have anything you want to tell the audience?
Yeah. The hi-bye letter is incredibly cathartic. Even if you never send it, even if you write it and ritualistically burn it or bury it in a box or whatever, it really helps you to figure out what happened, what went wrong, what you're feeling. And like I said, even if you never send it, I can tell you this, I've written several hi-bye letters that never got sent. But when I was done writing it, it was like going to confession. You know, you almost get absolution.
Well, yeah, because it helps you learn the lesson. It brings up all those subconscious, unconscious feelings you have and behaviors to help you process them, so you learn that they're not stuck there only to repeat with the next guy. So you want to keep your life flowing.
It's funny because it's never really only one person that causes the breakdown of a relationship.
No, it's a continuous. Yeah.
If you're not willing to take responsibility for your part in the failure, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So that's why I think the hi-bye letter is a crucial part of healing.
So let me ask you something with their ladies groups, you know, ladies in the groups. There's a lot of ladies that they don't really understand the difference between feminine and masculine energy. They think I'm feminine because I dress pretty, I sit and I smile, and I talk like a girl, but it's the energy. And then when I hear the examples, I tell them they're masculine, and most of the ladies want to push the men back and tell the men, I want, they basically want the men like a long, it's hard to say, they want to get to know the man and trust them, which I get, but they have such a hard wall up that it's hard for the men to even see what she's actually like, so they go away. Do you hear?
Oh,
do you
yeah.
I mean, they say they're, but I mean, they're so guarded and cold because they're so scared to get hurt. But then they say, I want to get to know him. But the poor man, if a minute he asks the wrong questions, he gets a negative comment back.
Well, yeah, he gets lambasted. And that's yeah. we put up these walls because we fear getting hurt. And the truth of the matter is that it's unfortunate that growth is usually the result of pain. And if you're putting up those walls because you're so fearful of getting hurt and experiencing pain, then you're never going to find anyone. You can't. How can you get to know somebody unless you exhibit that vulnerable side? And Pat talks about it, passive, patient, and vulnerable. But a lot of these women who think they're feminine are very masculine. They are anything but passive. They are incredibly impatient.
Yes.
And they do not exhibit vulnerability. And
yes.
There is a risk. There is a risk of pain. There is a risk of hurt. But there's also a risk of really great pleasure and connecting with somebody who you can fall in love with and be in love with and communicate, negotiate with. And I find some of my ladies in this day and age have a lot of masculine energy because they don't know how to take that mantle off when they get home.
Yes.
They step out of their job or their career, or what they do for a living, and they walk through the front door and they're still in that element.
Yes. So to go over what the feminine core is, feminine core energy, and we both have masculine and feminine, but if you want to be in a romantic complementary relationship, you need one feminine and one masculine. And everybody's masculine at work because we're all there to compete, you know, make money, solve problems. But when you're looking for a relationship, if you want to be the feminine, your best energy, you should portray signs of softness, expression, radiance, love, intuition, be passive, patient. That means you don't force yourself on him. You don't control him. And the masculine, he's more masculine core. He's the man that the feminine will connect to. If they're both healthy, he's the achiever, competition, accomplishments, he's freedom and purpose. He's all after the purpose. So if you know, feminine is just not looking pretty. You have to carry the essence of radiance and self-love. And a lot of the ladies have masculine wounds that block healthy masculine energy. And they're afraid to be open and vulnerable. They're afraid to even tell their feelings to this man. So he never gets to know if they're like him or if they enjoy being with him. That's what I'm finding. And unfortunately, I see more if it's getting, the ladies are older and older. And they've been in this masculine shield for quite a long time, and it's hard to break it down. It takes a lot of work.
It's really, really hard to step out of it. And, you know, I know you've experienced yourself, and yeah. I've experienced myself. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I would be driving home from work, and I would almost get home, and I would go, oh, you got to drive around the block. You got to pull over for a minute. You got to, you know, even with your family, not even in your male-female romantic relationship, but like your relationship with your children mm-hmm. and the people that may live with you. You know, I had an adult daughter that lived with me, and I would come home and I would just be in a raging masculine beast mood. And then she would just be like, I don't even want to be around you. Like, I'm leaving. And, you know, we're fallible. We're human. And so I really had to think about that and say, that's not fair to anybody you're with, your children, your mate, yeah. a roommate. So we have to be more cognizant and aware yeah. of that, turning that feminine on and releasing that masculine that we've carried all day. It's not easy.
Yeah. So, and like clearing up your unconscious blockage where you got to be in that masculine shield, you have to get into the root of the pain or the habits. And then sometimes you have to understand why you choose certain people and how you are showing up and who taught you that. So a lot of your wounds are from your parents, and, most wounds are from your mother and father. And if you're still emotionally toxic, you will attract toxic people. So if you still have wounds, you're going to attract the same wound in that man because that complements. So the thing where you grow the most is painful. You have to learn the lesson. You have to go through the pain to heal. And that's what a lot of women are, it's very hard. They don't even want to go through the pain because they have such a wall up that it shuts down all their feelings.
So what is your advice to your ladies when they're in that?
Hard. It's hard. When I hold my ladies groups, they're masculine and I'm masculine. So there's a war. They're mad. They want me to teach them how to get the guys to do this differently. And it's like, he's not in the room here. I can't teach him anything. Neither can you. It's like, I always say, it's like a car. You drive your car on your side of the road and do your own stuff. Work on your own wounds. Work on staying feminine and let him drive his car on his side of the road to work on his, leading, work on his dating and courting you, and let him work on being a man. Don't jump over to try and control and drive his car. And some of the signs of the shielded woman, if this resonates with anybody, they are shielded women. That means they're more in their masculine. Due to a lot of it's trauma, where maybe they didn't get attention from mom and dad, or they were abused, or they were always told they were unworthy and never count to anything. Trauma can come in all kinds of form, not just physical, sexual trauma. It can be verbal trauma, or being a child that was unlovable. Nobody loved her, so she carries these wounds. And when you could see signs of a shielded woman, when they're competitive, they're condescending and challenging towards men, they're always looking for what's wrong in a man. They make nasty comments. They're critical, nitpicking. They're always defensive. They're guarded. They're rigid. And they're always looking for what's wrong with that man. They always are trying to be on the, find out what's wrong with them. Before they even get to know him, Pat calls it blemished. They go out with a guy and there's no instant chemistry. They haven't even really got to meet. They just see the guy. Oh, I don't like him. Well, Pat calls that blemished. Oh, I can't go out with him. He wears white socks. You have to sit and date somebody for 3 times till you can desensitize from the bad guys you usually pick to be comfortable with the nice guys that you're not attracted to. So it's very hard to get my women to stay with guys. They always go for the wrong guys.
Yeah, so that's another thing too that I've noted is what I call the cycle of the bad boy.
Yeah.
So they want this excitement, this driving with your foot to the floor with the gas pedal, and then you come across this guy, I'm going to say, so he has the dad bod and you know, he's kind and, you know, he's nice to animals and nice to children and nice to old people. He's so boring. And I'm like, what are you trying? What are you looking for? Well, I want to get married and have a husband and children. And I'm like, yeah, but you want the guy who's like, what? Out riding the motorcycle at all hours of the night, not coming home, then he's the bad boy. Like, how's that husband material?
Well, a lot of that stems to how that when they were raised, they may have had an unstable family. So they saw a lot of chaos and there was just no stability in their own family growing up. So that's what they're familiar with. It's not that it's the best, but they're familiar. So, you know, if there's a lot of screaming, yelling, alcoholic, you know, drug abuse, you know, inconsistency, you think that's familiar. So you are attracted to that in a man. You're not attracted to the comfortable, calm ones. So it's actually, it's the vibration. You know, you get the dopamine high when it's familiar from when you grew up, always uncertain, you know, when's dad coming home? You know, mom and dad are screaming. There's always got to be drama. That's what they see as normal and familiar. So that's what they are attracted to. It's the attachment style. There's different attachment styles.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and they say to me, well, I was going out with him and then he cheated on me with another girl. And I was going out with him. I was dating him. And then all of a sudden, like, he changed and he wasn't calling me all the time and this and that and the other. And my first question after that is usually like, oh, did you let him in? Well, yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's another thing too. But I think one of the things that I was always struck by was how it is part of how you were brought up, how you were raised, your parents, your teachers, your experience, and, you know, early life, you know, middle school, dating as a young person in high school, all of that has an effect on your life script and how you react, how you control, how you process. And so that's why I think one of the very most important things to do when you really decide that you want to have a long-term relationship, you want a marriage, you want to be feminine, is to do your life script, is to really find out what's going on so you can rewrite your script. I mean, Hollywood never produces a movie without that script being rewritten over and over and over again until, you know, it's going to be marketable. So that's what we have to do with ourselves. We have to rewrite our script until we're marketable.
That's true. And Dr. Allen, she does life scripts every Friday. She does them between the hours of 12 and 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. So it's a 1-hour session and you have to fill out like 20 some questions. And then it's conducted on Zoom. And she digs in deep and finds out what happened in your childhood that, you know, kept the tape going in your mind to always pick those types of guys or always feeling you're not worthy. It helps you understand you so you can change and heal and learn to be better. You remember, doing Dr. Allen's work or any self-help work, you have to be aware and look within what you're doing to heal, not be defensive on what they're doing and wanting them to change. You'll never get results if you're too focused on what they're doing. You have to work on yourself because once you get to a better place, you'll attract better people.
100%. And like I said, one of the things that we have to do is if we're not willing to rewrite our script so that we're marketable,
yeah,
you know, who's going to want you?
Yeah.
And why would they? You know, yeah.
They may want you. It's not that they may not want, they may want you, but then you become used and abused because if you're not in a healthy state and working on your own stuff, you attract another broken man and the two of you will attract. He may be a user and you try to mother him to get him to love you. So those two hook up great.
Speaking of that, I wonder what happened with the gentleman who called last week.
Oh, I don't know what happened with him. He was, I think he wanted a girl, the girl that there were two men after.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll have to hope that he'll call back. Yeah.
I love when we get updates. I love it. And you know who we didn't hear from today? Oh,
the lady too with the widower. Yeah.
Yeah, we hadn't heard from her today. I love that. I love following what's going on with her. I think it's great. She's doing so well.
Yeah. And then just to go over Kelly, Dr. Pat, Kelly and myself, we do monthly ladies groups. Obviously, everybody wants Dr. Pat, which, you know, she's the best. Me and Kelly have been taught by her, so we do know a lot of her tools, and we know how to do her communication tools and her information as well. They start the first of each month, so we have another group starting up in July. I do have a wait list, so if you're interested, there are various days and various times. Just call me at the office or email me at info@drpatallen. Some of the stuff that I do and Dr. Allen does is that we help you understand the masculine, feminine energy systems, and we dig in on what wounds you received from mom and dad so that you can start working on them to heal so you can attract a better man. And we also teach you how to be more feminine mystique and how not to be a doormat or a mother to men and how to duty date. And we teach you how to use the tools. And before, we had that last one, the stroke, the stand, and the contract. There's different tools of communication so that you can ask for what you want and ask for what you don't want in a rational way, not emotional. Emotional, you're going to get conflict. You're going to be fighting. So Dr. Allen has a strategically list of tools that you use to help you negotiate with love instead of intimidate with guilt, fear, or intimidation. So those are what the ladies groups, it's limited to like four or five ladies, and we work with you in group. You know, you come in after you date, we critique it, tell you what to do, what not to do, what you might do better, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of like you may know the material, but you have to actually walk it and do it for it to be incorporated as a behavior and a habit. You can't just read it and learn it. It's got to be incorporated, and you have to be aware when you're doing the bad stuff, and you have to be aware when you're changing to do the new stuff, the new behavior. It's important, and that's very hard to do on your own sometimes. It takes a lot of work and practice.
It does. It does take a lot of work and take a lot of practice, and that's why I said I really recommend the script. It's a real, it's like a jump start to the process, because you really look into yourself and you really look into what you're doing to self-sabotage.
Yeah. And sometimes it's scary. I get a lot of women that are very defensive because they don't want to go into that, the pain that they had growing up. So they always have this pain, and that pain repels men. It's the energy. We're all vibration. You know, the law of attraction, you vibrate. So if you're vibrating at a toxic, you know, high strung level, it's very repelling for a calm man that wants to be a nice, giving husband. So your energy, you know, not just, oh, well, I went out and I dressed nice. That it's not just that. You have to have it a mindset and your energy vibration.
100%.
Yeah. So, well, we're coming to an end. I just want to say I recommend that all of our listeners keep their connection open for the following show, Patricia Eltinge's Dream Life. Patricia is an associate of Dr. Pat Allen, and she'll be taking your calls to do your dreams. She's on at 5 o'clock right here on LA Talk Radio. So please join in at 5 o'clock to have your dream interpretation. Kelly, do you have any last words for our audience?
Watch that video that Sue has generously put that is free. And come on back next week. We love you.
If you have any questions as well, like the last one did, please feel free to email me with your questions. I'll say it over the radio, and then you can go into the archives if you're not available within a reasonable listening hour, and you can go in and have your question answered and listen to it on the archives. info@drpatallen.com. So good night, audience. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.